The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
Yeah! From the promise of legalization. Of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you. You had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
All right, good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Thursday, April 11th, 2013. Had to check to be sure, but it's April 11th, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show. We're going to have ourselves a good time today. Not the least of reasons why, because we've got a guest in the house. Cousin Kenny is joining us. How you doing, Kenny?
I'm doing all right. How's everybody out there?
Doing really good. What's with the glasses?
I can't talk about that.
Oh, like a secret. And repping the JD Army there. I like seeing the shirt there. JDR in the house. Very cool. We also have Brian the Red hanging out with us as well.
Hey, everybody.
Who also has the cool glasses on. But we can't talk about them yet.
No, they told me not to talk about
them. All right, we'll talk about that later. But coming up on the show today, all sorts of interesting things, including Sharon Raver from Georgia Moms for Marijuana. She'll be joining us at the end of the show to give us an update on that Moms for Marijuana cannabis quilt. If you've been following the story, you know it got stolen in Texas. It's just recently been returned, but we have some updates on it and some more work that we need to do to end this story. So Sharon will join us at the end of the show to talk about that. At half past, I'm going to do a little bit of a radical rant. We're going to take a look at the future of legalized marijuana, and does that inevitably mean big tobacco becomes big marijuana? Are we going to have to deal with Marlboro buds and that kind of stuff? We'll talk about that and get some reaction from author Doug Fine. He's written about this, and he's interviewed extensively the growers in the Emerald Triangle for their position on this. It's a really, really interesting subject. We'll get to that in the Radical Rant today. Also on today's show, it's a Groovin' Thursday, so Bago Schwago will be calling us up, and we've got a tune coming in from He the Real J Kill. Not the fake J Kill, the real J Kill will be on today's show, so check that out. Also on today's show, we're going to go behind the headlines, and in behind the headlines today, really interesting story, a lawsuit coming up against the Universal Music Group that alleges, now hold on to your hats, people. Musicians smoke a lot of pot. I know, hard to believe, but we're going to talk about that lawsuit and some of the funny stuff that's found in that. But before we get to all of that, we got our 420 headline news, all sorts of interesting stuff in the news today from a lot of different states. We've got news on the marijuana eradication figures that have plummeted. New Hampshire is working on medical marijuana. North Carolina is working on an upgrade to decrim. The Texas Senate unanimously approves drug testing for unemployment benefits, and a former Dallas Cowboy is looking at 10 to life. All that and more coming up next.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Just fucking head.
What's happening, funky brothers and soul sisters? This is Big Daddy, and I want you to win a t-shirt courtesy of the Funky Roller Rink at 420radio.org. Just tune into the Funky Roller Rink this week and keep track of all the hip-hop tunes and sample my Funk 3, baby.
Music make you move, 'cause you can dig the groove.
Then, the following week, at the start of the show, just tweet at Funky Roller Rink the results of the hip-hop set list in the order they were played. The first three skaters with the correct set list will win some free threads, baby. But you gotta watch the show to win. It's the Sample My Funk t-shirt contest this week on the Funky Roller Rink. Check out the Funky Roller Rink blog on 420radio.org for more info. And as always, keep it funky, keep it funky, keep it funky.
Hi, this is Dan Michaels. If you're looking for professional voice talent for your commercial or podcast, I'm your man. Visit danmichaelsaudio.com for more information.
Now it's time for your 420 Radio News for Thursday, April 11th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. Marijuana eradication by law enforcement plummets over 60%. This from HuffingtonPost.com. The number of marijuana plants eradicated by law enforcement has plummeted in the last few years from a record high of over 10 million plants in 2009 and 2010 to under 4 million plants in 2012, according to newly released statistics. From that peak of over 10 million, the Drug Enforcement Administration said the number of marijuana plants eradicated dropped to 6.7 million in 2011 and 3.9 million in 2012. Just a fraction of the 9 million marijuana plants the DEA had hoped to destroy. DEA officials attribute the decline in part to the state of California, declaring in the agency's 2014 budget proposal that California's financial constraints resulted in, quote, the decreased availability of local law enforcement personnel to assist in eradication efforts, end quote. Separately, marijuana seizures have also decreased along the nation's borders. The U.S. Border Patrol said in its budget report that cannabis captures were down 9% from 2011 to 2012 to 2.999 million pounds, 1,000 pounds short of 3 million. That decrease came even as the Border Patrol apprehended 7% more people illegally attempting to cross the border. New Hampshire Senate holds medical marijuana hearing. From the San Francisco Gate. Sensing greater support from lawmakers to legalize marijuana for people with serious illnesses or chronic pain, medical marijuana opponents are suggesting allowing it in the context of a clinical study. Dr. Seddon Savage of the New Hampshire Medical Society said at a Senate hearing Thursday that collecting patient data could improve the treatment. The state could potentially get approval from the Drug Enforcement Administration for such a study, removing any conflict with the federal prohibition on marijuana. Her proposal was met with skepticism by medical marijuana proponents, including Republican Senator John Reagan, who said he believes the study is being offered as a way to delay the law's implementation should it be passed. It would add significant costs, and others said it would violate patient privacy. North Carolina bill to downgrade marijuana penalties, this from normal.org. A bill introduced by State Representative Kelly Alexander of Mecklenburg to downgrade the penalty for simple possession of marijuana in North Carolina passed first reading Wednesday and was referred to the House Committee on Judiciary. HB 637 would replace criminal penalties for the possession of less than 1 ounce of marijuana with a civil infraction similar to a traffic ticket. Simple marijuana possession is currently classified as a Class 3 criminal misdemeanor and is punishable by a suspended sentence and a $200 fine. A majority, 56% of North Carolina voters, believe the penalty for marijuana possession should entail only a fine, according to a public policy polling survey of 611 voters released in March. Texas Senate bill ties jobless benefits to drug test, from KXAN.com. The Texas Senate approved a bill Thursday that would require drug testing for some people when they apply for unemployment benefits. Republican Tommy Williams from the Woodlands authored the measure. State workers would ask applicants for unemployment insurance a series of questions, and if they appear to have a drug problem, the state will require that they take a drug test. Democrats signed on to the bill after adding provisions for retesting and drug treatment programs. Bill sponsor Senator Jane Nelson, Republican of Flower Mound, said, quote, "Taxpayer money should not be used to subsidize someone's drug habit," before the bill sailed through on a 31-0 vote that sent it to the House. Applicants who test positive would be barred from collecting benefits for 12 months. They could reapply in 6 months if they complete a substance abuse program. Three failed drug tests would result in a permanent ban. Former Dallas Cowboy player pleads guilty and apologizes for plot to sell marijuana and cocaine. From the Dallas News. Former Dallas Cowboys player Sam Hurd apologized this afternoon for conspiring to sell cocaine and marijuana as he pleaded guilty to a federal drug charge. Hurd faces 10 years to life in prison when he is sentenced in July. Hurd's guilty plea says the former NFL wide receiver did knowingly, intentionally, and unlawfully conspire to distribute 100 kilograms or more of marijuana and 5 kilograms of cocaine between July 2011 and June 2012. Hurd's cousin admitted in federal court last year that he helped the former NFL player establish a cocaine distribution network. Prosecutors have said the plot began when Hurd played for the Cowboys and continued after he began playing for the Chicago Bears. And that's your 420 Radio News for Thursday, April 11th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, it's time to go behind the headlines, and we are going to take a look at a lawsuit against the Universal Music Group for massive marijuana use at its headquarters. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back.
Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, The Russ Belville Show, Ganja John, and Cascadia Concentrates. Among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Adam's meticulous designs are individually crafted and screened in vibrant high-definition color. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
Activist for 40 years.
We are turning the corner on a failed policy that's been disastrous for our communities, and things are going to get better.
80 years ago, we repealed alcohol prohibition in this state. We did it prior to the federal government, and we're doing the same thing when it comes to marijuana. We are a step ahead, and we will continue to lead the way. It means I'm going to smoke a lot of weed tonight!
Some call it marijuana.
You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
Some of them call it ganja. Never mind. Legalize it.
Welcome back, everybody. Time to go behind the headlines. And today we're looking at a lawsuit. This is coming from digitalmusicnews.com. And the headline is, lawsuit alleges, quote, massive marijuana use, end quote, at Universal Music Group headquarters. That's right, folks. This just in, musicians smoke pot. Yeah. All right. So first, but there's some history to this, too. Apparently, a while ago, the feds busted a massive cocaine ring at Interscope Records. This was back in 2011, and this case back in 2011 had to do, and the documents are up on the Smoking Gun, by the way, pointed to Interscope as a hub of pickups and deliveries for large amounts of cocaine. Music cargo cases were the conduit of choice, specifically handled by Rocket Cargo. These cases were stuffed with kilos of cocaine and bunches of cash and sent through the LA-based Interscope offices as part of a US-based distribution system. Now, others who were implicated in this include the road manager of the artist The Game. Apparently a big rap artist named The Game, but there's no information to suggest The Game was involved in this in any way. Well, that's all the way back in 2011. Now we're getting out of Universal Music Group this new lawsuit that has been put forth by a former female security guard there who alleges that artists and executives at UMG's headquarters are smoking massive amounts of marijuana. Here's part of the complaint. Throughout the time of the plaintiff's employment as a security guard assigned to the premises, she witnessed studio guests outside smoking marijuana or drugs, tenants and studio guests smoking marijuana or drugs in the courtyards, some employees complaining about marijuana smoke, guests seen smoking marijuana in the hallways, lobby areas, in front of building entrances, on the side of the building, in the stairwells, in the parking lot, and other common areas, and the use of drug paraphernalia. Plaintiff could also smell the marijuana while she was on duty. Now, this security guard also points out that numerous artists offered her a hit while she was at work. I'm still trying to find what the complaint is here, but here's part from the complaint. The various guests of Universal Music that plaintiff witnessed engage in illegal drug use and or drug paraphernalia included, but were not limited to, Macy Gray, guests of Jamie Foxx, MC Ren and his guests, rapper T.I. and his wife Tiny's entourage, and Future, among other artists. Some artists would offer drugs to plaintiff, which she declined, asking, does she want to hit it, referring to drugs they were smoking from a pipe, or does she want a hit, referring to a joint that they were smoking? And they say that we're talking about a whole lot of weed being smoked here. The filing also indicates that various studio equipment was becoming stained and affected by the marijuana smoking. Some employees were complaining, and all sorts of paraphernalia and leftover bags were frequently discovered. It's always one person complaining. It's got to ruin it for everyone, huh? As far as the studio equipment becoming stained and affected by marijuana smoking, well, we've been doing this show for 5 years with a lot of this equipment. Still seems to be working. Also in the filing, they have an incident with Maroon 5's Adam Levine, who is apparently smoking like Jagger. He brazenly lit a joint in the lobby. It's Adam Levine, you know, from Maroon 5. He can do whatever he wants, a Universal employee allegedly responded. If he wants to come to the lobby and do a line of coke on the floor, it's okay. I'm just trying to get that image in my head here of Adam Levine on the floor, hands and knees, doing a line of coke off it. That'd be interesting. The complaint also points out that the guard reported, quote, finding bras hanging in the studio and people being found passed out in the showers after partying and drug use, not to mention condoms in the bathrooms and Universal employees engaged in intimate touching and grinding involving buttocks and genitalia. Yeah, so this is the big complaint with Universal. Another complaint had to do with firearms. Bodyguards for TI, for example, demanded special parking privileges in case of, quote, a shootout or if something goes down, end quote. And also a superior asked the guard to report anything suspicious related to weaponry while noting that the building management would probably look the other way, quote, until there's a body floating in that pond over there, management isn't going to do anything about it, end quote. So all I wanted to bring up in this suit is that if you're a security guard, I mean, and you're working at a major music studio, I think there's some things you're just going to have to come to accept. And that is that creative people at the top of their careers have very few fucks to give. and they're not going to waste them on whether or not some security guard at the studio has a problem with pot smoke. These kind of lawsuits just bother me because what is she going to do? She's going to get it so that they completely shut down all drug use at the Universal Music Group. Well, you know what that means? That means artists switching labels. That means people going to other studios to do their work, because there's something about marijuana use and creative music that just go together. I defy you to look at your record collection, your CD collection, take out all the CDs of the pot smokers, and you'll be left with Perry Como, for God's sake. Don't mean to pick on Perry Como. For all I know, he smoked weed too. We got to take a break. When we come back, we'll have our daily Toker Tunes with Bago Schwago. Stay tuned for Groovin' Thursday.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Cannabis.
Non-alcohol.
Do you know that I can be used to treat a number of physical and psychological conditions like depression, Huntington's disease, and osteosclerosis?
Your mother's an osteoporosis.
I can also be used to help those who are abusing our friend over here.
You know what the problem is with you? You think you're better than everybody else. Hey, look at me, I'm weak.
Okay, I actually do prefer to be called Cannabis. I'm illegal.
I'm illegal. Because weed makes you stupid.
Fun.
What's happening, cool cats? This is Big Daddy, and I want you to cruise on over to the Funky Roller Rink. We'll be grooving all night long.
I like it.
Doors open at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, every Thursday night.
Funky. Delicious.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Groovin' Thursday, featuring rap, hip-hop, soul, and funk music. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
Well, I don't know if music and marijuana go together anymore. I don't want Brian to be filing no lawsuit or nothing, you know, for all our weed smoking going on here. That'd be bad. Hey, let's go to the phone lines. We've got Bago Schwago, our regular Groovin' Thursday editor, sitting on the line waiting for us. How's it going?
It's going good, sir. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic. We're just getting ready. Next weekend's a big 420 weekend. We're going to have ourselves a ton of fun. I hope you do, too.
I am absolutely ecstatic to be there next weekend with you. It'll be a blast.
Yeah, we are going to have a great time. And for today, we've got our Groovin' Thursday tunes. And we were just talking about Universal Music Group and some of these rappers. And gosh, did you know that they like to smoke a lot of pot?
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I had absolutely no idea. And, you know, and honestly, I'm in the process of job hunting, and I think I want to apply to work at the place there, because that sounds like a fine place to work.
Yeah. Here, you want to hit? Oh, look, someone topless is running around. Gee, this job sucks.
Go ahead. Drug test me. I know more people that are more important. Go right ahead.
Really?
Anyways, today's song is a guy actually here I found locally here in Tucson. I put up a message out to a local hip-hop board. And this guy reached out to me. He goes by the name The Real J. Kill. He sent me a little bio about himself. He's a rapper, producer, filmmaker. He's originally from New York and relocated here to Tucson. He says he's been called the fourth beastie, small pun. He's hard to categorize because his music is so versatile. His lyrics are outrageous and his beats are original. He self-produces and does every track. He's right now more into comedy, but cunningly political, making songs about the recession, legalizing pot, and clubbing on a budget. And I love the title of this song. It's not a real rap hip-hop beat. It's more of a reggae beat, But the title, I'm With Your Girl and We're Smoking Pot, I had to play it. It's great.
I'm With Your Girl and I'm Smoking Pot. Here he is, the real
Well, his Imperial Majesty, King Haile Selassie I.
Catch me off guard in a barroom brawl. I'll punch you in the face and break your jaw. Yo, there's no need to get intense. Your girl's whispering dirty things to me in French. And yo, it's getting steamy and clothes are getting drenched. So clothes are coming off as I light incense. She's with the cousins, that's the excuse you bought. Well, boy, she's with me and we're smoking pot. Just us in the house getting blazed on the couch while I'm wrapped in her arms. It's a spliff and a knife. Let's get it. I'm with your girl, I'm a smoking pot. Get him. I'm with your girl, I'm a smoking pot. Get him. I'm with your girl, I'm a smoking pot. You think I'm just joking around? But I'm not. I'm with your girl, I'm a smoking pot. Clothes are coming off. True story. Take him to the bridge. Rock the mind, so bump my blood clot. I get blades in my eyes. Don't sweating me about the fucking election, but your girl sweating me about contraception. I need the super duper large size protection, so I'm at Walgreens family planning section. She chose me cause I'm a better selection. Guys like you don't know how to show affection. I'm like Snoop Dogg and Marvin Gaye. I sing love songs while I smoke blunts all day. You call me goofy, said I'll never be smooth, but I'm with your girl and clothes are getting a move. So keep making songs about the bottles you pop, but I'm with your girl and we're smoking pot. I'm with your girl and we're smoking pot. Get 'em. I'm with your girl and we're smoking pot. Get 'em. I'm with your girl and we're smoking pot. You think I'm just joking around? Well, I'm not. Haha, I'm with your girl and we're smoking pot. Oh, they're coming off. No joke, homeboy, you're coming off. With your girl and we're smoking pot.
Harmless. That's what everybody says these days. It's fun. It's recreational. Some even call it medicine. But every year, millions of young people find out that marijuana is extremely dangerous. Every year, they find out that it's deadly. Marijuana smoke is lethal and toxic. Don't believe anything you've ever heard positive about smoking marijuana. It will kill you. Really. It's really going to kill you. It's don't smoke it. It will really, really kill you. Seriously. It's going to kill you.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Our marijuana laws are terribly unfair, and they make criminals out of law-abiding citizens. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. and we are unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They are average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. And it's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at NORML.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
And I got to thinking recently about this whole scare about big tobacco and big marijuana. Most of this comes from Kevin Sabet. You know, I follow him daily. I hope to be his nemesis. I hope that I just hope this is all working, is what I'm saying. But anyway, I was following this Kevin Sabet stuff and checking out his Project Sam website. And this is a scaremongering that we hear a lot, not just from the opposite side, not from the Patrick Kennedys and the Kevin Sabets, but we also hear it on our side from some of the more sincere and devoted legalizers. And that's this idea of when marijuana gets legalized, big tobacco is going to step in and it's going to be big marijuana. It's going to lie to the kids. It's going to bring out Joe Camel. It's going to lie about how harmful everything is. It's going to get everyone addicted. It's going to be a terrible, terrible thing, just like big tobacco was. And this gets repeated a lot. And I want to cover it from both sides. Let's start with the Kevin Sabet side. He's got a page up there on the Project Sam website that is dedicated to the whole fear mongering about big tobacco. And this is one of his quotes. He says, "We know if it's legalized, marijuana will be commercialized too. A commercial marijuana industry will act just as the tobacco industry acts. Big tobacco may even take over a marijuana industry once it's up and running." Now, never mind the fact that we already do have a big marijuana, and that big marijuana is the Mexican cartels that are beheading people and doing some terrible things and killing 10,000 people a year. We already have big marijuana. And never mind the fact that if a big marijuana existed like big tobacco, it would have to create jobs, pay taxes, and so forth, you know, be inspected and all that. Never mind all that. The fear here is big tobacco would take over the marijuana industry once it's up and running. And in the page, he points out that Altria, which is the parent company of Philip Morris, recently bought the web domain names AltriaCannabis.com and AltriaMarijuana.com. So this is part of the scare, right? Big tobacco is already waiting for marijuana to be legalized, and they're snapping up the web domain names so that as soon as it's legalized, they can capitalize on it, right? That's the idea. The problem is, if you do a little clicking, if you do a little looking through the internet, on the link that Kevin Sabet provides himself, you can find some interesting information. When he has that sentence, "It recently bought the web domains Altria Cannabis and Altria Marijuana," it links back to a story from 2009 on a website called Domain Name Wire. And Domain Name Wire is supposedly the news source for the internet domain name industry. What, you didn't know there was an internet domain name industry? Yeah, there is. People buy and sell and trade domain names. So, you know, marijuana.com went for $4.2 million. There is a whole industry around these internet domain names. So anyway, this Domain Name Wire published what they had to say on this was that Altria was not just buying the domain names AltriaCannabis.com and AltriaMarijuana.com off the open market like no one had been using them. The fact was, an unknown person in Washington, D.C. had purchased AltriaCannabis.com and AltriaMarijuana.com. And in 2009, Altria went to federal court in an arbitration proceeding to get the domain names that had their brand in it from this unknown person in Washington, D.C. who had already registered them. It just so happens to be a coincidence that in 2009, Kevin Sabet was living in Washington, D.C. as an advisor to the drug czar. The person who registered Altria Marijuana and Altria Cannabis, it's a anonymous listing through an IT host, so we can't know for sure who registered those pages. But basically what this was Altria trying to get domain names that had their brand in it away from someone who was misusing them. And in fact, if you go to the websites now, AltriaMarijuana.com and AltriaCannabis.com, what you will find is a blank white page. There's nothing up there. So it's not as if Altria bought them and is doing anything with them at this time. Now, what used to be on those pages? Well, I took a look. And I got a snapshot from archive.org, which, you know, archive.org takes snapshots of websites. And I wasn't able to get a snapshot from 2009, but I did get one from January of 2010, which apparently was able to cache this picture of what the page looked like before Altria took it down. Here is what the page read before the tobacco company got to it. Thank you for visiting our site to fight the legalization of marijuana. Our goal is to inform you about the new cases like California Prop 215 and California Senate Bill 420. These cases have made legal marijuana cannabis for so-called medical use, decriminalizing this dangerous narcotic and allowing less than upstanding members of society to become state-sanctioned drug dealers who profit from the misery of others. Other states have since followed suit, and a virtual domino effect has thus transpired. As such, nearly 30% of our states have decriminalized marijuana cannabis in one way or another. Now, a new and greater threat is on the horizon as California Assembly Bill 390 proposed to completely legalize the sale and use of marijuana cannabis. We fear that this will likely cause a similar, although far more massive, domino effect, as was the case with decriminalization. Furthermore, even righteous states, that oppose the legalization of drugs and continue to fight the good fight have to have unlimited access to or stand to be severely impacted by passing of California Assembly Bill 390, as drug dealers will have unlimited access to marijuana cannabis simply by traveling to California and other states that follow suit and decide legalize marijuana cannabis. No, I didn't read that wrong. The end of it says, and decide legalize marijuana cannabis. Greater than the sum of all these fears is the premonition that, when made legal, big business, especially those big businesses that profit from poisoning our society and destroying our youth with tobacco and alcohol, will engage in and ultimately control this multi-billion dollar industry, furthering the decline and destruction of America at an unfathomable rate. Thus, it is the mission of this website to fight the legalization and usage of marijuana, cannabis, and all other intoxicating, addicting, and illicit substances. That doesn't sound like anything Kevin Sabet would write, does it? So here we have a website, AltriaMarijuana.com, AltriaCannabis.com, dedicated to fighting against the legalization of marijuana, painting this demonization picture of big tobacco coming in and taking it over. And only then did Altria go and get those websites back, because maybe perhaps they didn't want to be seen as being demonizing something that was incredibly popular. But let's take a look at the other side of this, and that would be this our side, which, you know, we look back to Prop 215 and that Prop 19 in California, and the voters in the Emerald Triangle voted against it. They defeated it in Mendocino by 6%. They defeated it in Humboldt by 8%. And the person that I turned to on this one is Doug Fine. He's the author of Too High to Fail. He's also been a guest on this show. And he spent a couple of years embedded with the farmers in the Emerald Triangle to ask what they thought legal marijuana would be like. And this one 31-year-old cannabis farmer he's calling Mark says, quote, "It'll be the end of the small farmer. Folks will be buying packages of joints made by Coors or Marlboro." And that's the fear among some of the people on our side, is that once it becomes legal, then there's going to be a huge problem trying to get into the business. Doug Fine writes it like this. "I've found that the answer has as much to do with simple accounting as the more common outsider assumption that farmers fear the price drops that come when a prohibitionary economy dissolves. When, in three generations of farming, your family has never had to pay taxes, record payroll, or meet building code, let alone meet a customer, the prospect of coming above ground and dealing with the same red tape every other industry does can be terrifying. So some of these farmers, like all successful small business owners in any industry, resist change in a knee-jerk fashion by distributing worst-case scenarios the way some people pass around business cards. Look at tobacco, Mark said. They've made the paperwork crazy complicated so only giant corporate farmers can afford to grow it commercially. And he's actually correct. Section 40 of Title 27 of the Alcohol and Tobacco Tax and Trade Bureau's regulations has 534 subsections. You need a corporate lawyer on call to endure this document without a migraine. The system favors big producers, and Big Tobacco is at least paying attention to federal drug law. NPR reports that Philip Morris trademarked the brand Marley in 1983, and Dan Mitchell reported in Fortune that Brown and Williamson enthusiastically advised in a 1970s internal report that the company start viewing marijuana as an alternative product line. But what's really happening is the more sensible growers in the Emerald Triangle have formed something called the Emerald Growers Association, and they are looking for the craft brew model. And this is something I've been pointing out for a long time. Folks, don't be afraid of the Budweiserification or the Marlboro-ication of marijuana, whatever you want to call it, the corporatization, the Walmart weed. Don't be afraid of that. They're gonna put out, you know, packs of cheap-ass mid-grade joints for people. Great. Let the people who want to smoke cheap mid-grade joints have them. That'll be fine with me. But I'm not going to be smoking them. I'm going to be smoking the good Pacific Northwest bud I've always been able to get, and that's what the EGA, Emerald Growers Association, is saying in this as well. He points out that American craft beer was an $8 billion market in the U.S. last year. Thomas Balog of the EGA board says, we're not afraid of what might be stocked next to cheap beer and cigarettes at the corner store. He points out that we're talking about a $35 billion a year cash crop here in the United States, which is greater than the value of corn and wheat combined. But even, and he says, this is the board member from EGA again, says, quote, even if your worst fears about modern corporate ethics are correct, there is still a niche for top shelf organically grown cannabis like the Emerald Triangle provides, end quote. But here's where the difference is. If you're just a guy who's been, you know, pumping out buds using pesticides and shady techniques or whatever, and you expect to be able to keep doing that in the post-legalization future, that's where you're going out of business. This reminds me, it harkens back for me to the early days in when I was playing music professionally, when karaoke came out. A lot of musicians were really upset about karaoke coming out. Oh my God, all these bars are getting rid of their live music gigs. They're putting in karaoke. This sucks. It's going to kill musicians. No, it doesn't. Kills the bad musicians. The good musicians, the good bands can always draw better than a karaoke machine. But the mid-grade, middle-of-the-road musicians who are just serving as sonic wallpaper, hell, we can get a machine and some drunks for that. That's what's going to happen with marijuana. If you've just been getting by because it's prohibited and you're the guy in your town and you've been able to supply buds of got some, hey, what kind of strain you got? I got some. You want some? If you've been that guy, yeah, it's going to be tough for you in the legalized world when you're going to have to compete against large-scale growers and industrial farming techniques. But the other part that's interesting about this, in reading Doug Fine's article, he talks about how a lot of these growers, these small growers would benefit a lot from legalization, because not only can they sell their buds, but now they can do anything they want to do with all those leftover stocks that aren't really being used for much of anything. Now, those could be converted for, you know, biofuels, building materials, all sorts of things. And the tourism involved. They are pointing out, this is again that EGA people are saying that Mendocino and Humboldt counties are going to do for cannabis what Napa Valley did for wine. Napa Valley just did $11 billion in tourism business, not buying wines when you get there, just people touring the wineries. So get ready for cannabis tincture massages and tasting tours and farm tours. It's just going to be an amazing thing. But we can control this and we can be a part of this. Don't fear the change that's coming up. Steer the change that's coming up. Be a part of this. Go to those city council meetings. Go to those different state board hearings and become a part of making the rules the way we want them. Make it so that we can still have a niche market of small garden farmers. Hey, we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're going to have Georgia Mom for Marijuana, Sharon Ravert, on the line, telling us all about the latest saga of the Cannabis Quilt. You're listening to the Russ Belleville Show. See you in a minute.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belleville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
NARML stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs.
I've paid my dues.
You're tuned into the Russ Belleville Show.
Yeah, we've made a call on the controversial marijuana ballot question, Amendment 64. Floyd, we can safely say this is going to pass.
It is legal in the Constitution to possess and grow up to 6 plants.
You cannot be arrested for being in possession of an ounce of marijuana.
Colorado and the state of Washington, they voted to legalize marijuana, not for medical use, but for recreational use.
This is the beginning of taking apart prohibition one state at a time. That's how they did it 80 years ago against alcohol. That's how we're going to do it now against marijuana.
We are the champions. We are the champions. No time for
lose. Activism begins with act. The Russ Belleville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
Welcome back, everybody. 47 after the hour, and on the line, one of my favorite human beings on the planet, Sharon Ravert from Georgia Moms for Marijuana. How you doing, Sharon?
I'm doing well. How are you, Russ?
I'm doing pretty good, but you guys are doing a whole lot better now. Why don't you tell folks the story, the saga, if you will, of the Moms for Marijuana quilt?
Okay, well, you had Tracy on last week, Ansley, from Texas Moms, and she had done an event in Austin and was going the following weekend to Dallas to do an event that was being hosted by Texas Normal and the Normal Women's Alliance and her and everybody. So anyway, she was on the way there, and she was in Irving, Texas. I'm not exactly sure where that is, somewhere between the two. And she had to stop real quick for a potty break with her little 8-year-old daughter. And she went into the bathroom, and when she came out, the quilt was gone. It was on, you know, secured to the roof rack. It is a 60-pound large piece of quilting, and it was gone. It was stolen. And she called me immediately and was frantic and in tears. And I just gave her some advice and said, you know, call the police. That's hard to say to people coming from me, honestly. But I told her to call the police and make a report, you know, and that it would come back. That, you know, there's good in everybody, even thieves. And when they see what this is, it's going to come back to us somehow or another. And so We just started working on Facebook and worked the whole weekend contacting people. Tracy was a champ. She contacted every person in Irving that she could think of. All of the city and county employees, she contacted the DOT and asked them to look for it, and dog catcher and everything.
Wow.
And so she was just incredible. And with her help and everybody on Facebook and Craigslist, and we had it posted everywhere. And she had gotten an interview to head over back to the CBS with Fox News. You know, that's what we had discussed. You know, we've got to make the best of it. You know, we've got to get some media about it. If it comes back or doesn't, we can use this as an opportunity to spread the word about it. So that's what we started doing. She got an interview. And she headed over to the interview. And this was, oh, my God, I'm so confused on the days. I don't even know what day it is. I think it was Monday or Tuesday she was heading over to this interview. And while she was talking to the lady on the phone from Fox News, she got a call that came through that was unknown. So she didn't answer it, of course. Well, when she got off the telephone, she checked her messages, and there was an anonymous call from, she said it sounded like a woman, but she couldn't be positive. Saying that the quilt was on the side of the road by a certain business there, and she named the business, and Tracy just freaked out. She's like, "Yeah, this is probably a joke from Craigslist or whatever, but I'm going to go, you know, since I'm on the way that way anyway." So she went and got there and looked around, couldn't see it. Walked about a quarter of a mile. Some guys stopped in these big DOT trucks that were working on the road, and she told them what she was looking for, and they helped and joined in looking for it. And one of the guys told her, he said, "I saw an older woman that was messing with a purse and looked like a big blanket, you know." And she was thinking, "Oh my Lord, they've returned it, and now it's been stolen again." You know? And so she kept looking, and she said she got in her car, and she thought, "Well, I'm going on to the interview. You know, it's obviously not here. This was a hoax, or somebody's already gotten it." And she said she just happened to be driving about a quarter of a mile away from where they said it was, and she happened to see a bright yellow something caught her eye, and she stopped and went over, and it was the quilt. It was the New Mexico patch that was bright yellow that caught her eye.
Yay, New Mexico.
I know, right? Right. So needless to say, she stuffed it in her trunk the best she could with 60 pounds, and she's not a big girl, and I didn't have any help. So she put it in her trunk and called the people with Fox News and told them that she had it. And, you know, the lady, you know, said, "Okay, great, you know, well, we don't need to do the story then," because it was just going to be kind of like a plea story to ask for it back.
Mm-hmm.
And so Tracy turned around and headed back towards her house, and about an hour later, she got a call from Fox News and said, "They want to still do the story. We'll come to you."
Oh, wow.
And they told her, you know, she told them where she was, and she, you know, they met at a park, and they spread the quilt out. Did a big story on it. You know, the quilt does have some damage to it, but nothing that can't be fixed. So that's the story.
Wow. All right. So when we had last seen the quilt in Dahlonega, we had put it in that big jumbo vacuum bag that you had. Was the vacuum bag a part of this at any point?
It was in the vacuum bag when it was taken.
On the roof.
It was not in it when it was found.
Damn.
And the Unity quilt that was the Unity panel, the smaller part that was with it, is still missing.
Okay.
So we're still, you know, trying to search for that and working on that.
The Unity quilt is all of the groups that are in support of the first quilt. So it's got patches there for Cannabis Nation Radio and a couple normal chapters and stuff like that. And it's not as large at this point as the main quilt was.
Right. Exactly. The main quilt was 18 feet by 24 feet. So it was kind of hard to, you know, put that on the bed. The other one was more like maybe would sit on a queen size bed. So I'm having this feeling that somebody's got a really nice bedspread now.
Yeah. That's what Libra's saying.
A really cool one.
Yeah. Yeah, she's saying in the chat room they kept the unity panel for the bed. The other one was too damn big.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But hopefully, you know, somebody will see it, and we're going to keep looking for it. And we've gotten so much press and so much support from this. You know, like I told the girls, and like they were saying, you know, this quilt was all about bringing everybody together, and it's done its job just from being lost.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people were supporting us and all kinds of different groups and trying to help us. So it's done its job thus far. So.
Well, that's the thing. And I was beginning to write up a piece on this I was going to publish it the day that I had heard that it was returned. So I never turned out to have a need for publishing it. But it just occurs to me with this quilt that what I was going to say was, it doesn't matter if it's lost, because it's the stories that the quilt represents that's important.
Exactly.
All these victims of the drug war, and we'll make another quilt. And in doing so, we'll get double the media exposure from this whole situation. So it seems to me that's turned out to be true. We did get double the media exposure, and we got the quilt back.
So exactly. And so many more groups as well have already, you know, signed up and said they want to do patches for the Unity quilt.
Well,
you know, way more than we could have ever hoped to get in a 5-day time period.
Yeah, well, sign us up, because I will have some access to people who have seamstress capabilities, and we'll make a nice 420 radio patch.
Beautiful. I will sign you up.
All right. Now, what's next for the quilt? Is it on tour still, and where does it head next?
Well, it's on hiatus for a little while we try and clean it up and fix it. I believe from what Tracy said, she is mailing it to Sarah.
Okay.
Out in, I don't know where she is now.
I think she's back in Boise, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she's in Idaho, and she'll be mailing it out there, and they're going to clean it up. There's a few little rips and seams, nothing that a seamstress couldn't fix in, you know, a couple hours of work. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Just to be a little selfish, I'm a little bummed that the vacuum bag is gone, because we were starting this nice little tradition with it, where on the bag we were going to put, you know, the name and the place and the date where the quilt had been, and it would build over time. And by the time this quilt had been on the road for a long time, you could just read all of the places it had been. We'll just have to get another vacuum bag, too.
Yeah, I guess I'll have to bring one out to Denver and send it on up to Idaho.
Speaking of Denver, we got that coming up here in just a week from tomorrow. I'll be flying out to Denver. You'll be there. A whole bunch of people will be there. How excited are you?
I'm very, very excited. I mean, the first ever Cannabis Cup in the U.S. Epic. It's going to be epic.
Yeah, we are going to have ourselves a good time. We hope people visit us at the 420 Radio booth. We'll be there in the nonprofit section, and I'm sure Sharon will be there. Rolla J is going to be out there. Who else? Big Daddy Fink coming out, I think.
Yeah, Big Daddy Fink's coming out. Thanks to him, I get to come.
That's right. That's right. We are going to have so much fun. Lively Lieber from the chat room is going to be out there as well. She's very excited to get baked with Sharon. Heart, 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 she says. So we'll definitely have ourselves a good time. How are things going with Peachtree Normal? Last I stopped by, you know, we'd done the conference, got a lot of great earned media out of that. How has that led to more recruiting and more action at the legislature?
Oh, yeah, we've got all kinds of stuff going on. Our legislature is done for the year, so we're out talking to them in their own districts and out there. There's so much going on, Russ, I can't even go there. The conference really blew up on everything. I've got resumes sitting in. We're trying to organize. I mean, I bet we've got 200 people that want to go to work here in Georgia already. Mm. It's just insane. I need to hire some interns, but I don't even get paid, so I don't know how I'm going to do that.
Well, you got a lot of great colleges and universities all throughout Georgia. You put out to their student resources that you need interns and that you'll give them college credit. You can get guys that are like public policy people can get college. That's how I got Calico. He got college credit for what we're doing, and that's worth it to them.
Oh, wow. If I could get a mini Calico, we'd be good to go.
A mini Calico? I don't know how more mini he gets. Hey, Sharon, thank you so much for everything you guys are doing. And I'm so happy Moms for Marijuana got the quilt back. We appreciate all the hard work down there in the American South.
Okay. Thank you so much for having us.
You bet. We'll
talk
see
to you
next
later.
Weekend.
See you in a week. Okay. Bye-bye.
We love it. We love it. All right, folks, that's all the time we got here for Hour 1. But stay with us for Toker Talk Radio in Hour 2. We're hanging out with Cousin Kenny and Brian the Red. We'll also take your calls at 971-533-7111. So for Brian the Red and Cousin Kenny, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seat, you manage, you roll it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.